FCUM Radio.
FC and Music United.
Hello and welcome to this week's edition of This Club Is My Club, right here on North Manchester 106.6 FM. I'm your host Cockers, and shortly we'll be hearing how FC United got on in their league match with Matlock Town from Saturday afternoon. But before that, it's to the Women's FA Cup second round tie against Hull City from Sunday. And for all the build-up now, let's hand over to Ben and Paul in the main stand.
Well, good afternoon everyone and welcome back to Broadhurst Park, and you join us here on a Sunday afternoon. FC United and Manchester taking on Hull City in the second round of the FA Cup. A proper big game here, and therefore we have to bring out the big guns. It's a big welcome back to Sato Paul. Hello.
Good afternoon.
Good intro.
Very good.
Yeah, yeah. It was alright, wasn't it? So, Paul, how momentous is this game?
It's a very, very big game. It's probably the biggest game in our history, I would say, for many reasons. It's attracted a good crowd. There's a buzz around the stadium. We're hoping to make this a record attendance for a women's game today at Broadhurst. There's a chance for FC to get into the next round against the big clubs, even bigger than Hull. Hull themselves, of course, are second in the division. They've only lost one game all season in the league. We've only won one in the league. But this is the FA Cup, and that means anything can happen.
Yes, and obviously this is the third time we played in the competition this season. Starting off with Cheadle, really epic game that one. And then obviously in the first round proper we took on York. It feels like we're having a steady progression, because this game against Hull, second in the league Hull, this is the toughest out of all three of them so far.
Yes, they've already been here this season in October and hammered us 6-0. But I think it's a measure of the progress that our women's team has made that we don't think it's going to be a similar game today because of the way that we played at York. The York performance is absolutely outstanding against another side that's beaten as well this season. But the difference last week was like night and day, wasn't it? It really was.
Yeah, just a reminder, we took on York, we got beat by them 5-0 in the league. Mm. We took on Hull, also in the league, we got beat 6-0.
Yeah.
However, there's a bit of a change, and there was a change ahead of the York match as well. Four players starting this afternoon for FC United didn't start in that 6-0 defeat against Hull City a couple of weeks back in the league. Cara Bickett, Chenise Reeves, who was a massive miss, Evo Carroll, and Alice Firth. Those four have really added something, I'm going to suggest, compared to that game a few weeks back against Hull City in the league.
And rather interestingly, when Hull came last time, they left Hope Knight on the bench, who's a prolific goal scorer, and she came off the bench and scored a hat-trick. She's actually starting today. So they're taking this very, very seriously, as you would expect. There is a lot of money riding in the Women's FA Cup this season, so there's a lot to play for this afternoon. And I think that what Jenny has done is instilled a bit of belief in the side that wasn't there before. And it means that we're going into a very difficult match here this afternoon, but there is an optimism.
Yeah, we can't overstate, though, the challenge today. Hope Knight was a substitute against FC United in the last league game. Here today in the FA Cup, she starts 13 league goals this season and a hat-trick in the last game between these two teams. She's definitely one to watch.
Yeah, we were very impressed by the whole side last time they were here. But at the same time, they were given room to play. They were given space to exploit. And let's hope today that we're a bit tighter.
Well, as you can hear from the atmosphere here in the main stand, both teams are coming out onto the pitch. And I mentioned the four players who didn't start, obviously, against Hull City. But the two players who've joined the club since the game, Cara Bickett, Evo Carroll, we saw their class against York City, didn't we, in the first round, Paul?
Yeah, it was a good all-round performance at York, but obviously the two newcomers made a big difference. But also we've got to mention Ella Ritchie in the last round, who was absolutely outstanding and scored both goals.
Yeah, and if you've not seen the highlights back, they're available now on the FC United Women's YouTube channel. What a goal from Ellie Ritchie, to be fair. But just going back to that league game against Hull, we were very, very shaky, weren't we, at the back. And Bickett and Jean, not to tempt fate, playing Carlin at right back, Carrington at left back, that's given us a bit more... Oh, I can't say it, Paul, because I'm just tempted fate, but you know what I'm going to say.
Yeah. I think that let's say that the shape has changed since Hull were last here. Some of the personnel has changed. And we anticipate a game that's not going to be 6-0, let's say.
Well, fingers crossed. And Paul, just a reminder, as a club, we've been to the second round of the FA Cup once. That was the men's team against Brighton. It went to a replay, and then obviously we got knocked out there at Gig Lane. Just how momentous would it be for FC United's women's team to go one better and get to the third round?
Well, I've just been at the AGM, and Jenny was outstanding. She's been the outstanding person at the AGM today. She's put forward a vision for this side, for this club even, in terms of development. And I think everyone knows that if FC pull off a win today, the publicity for it will go up and down the country.
Well, let's hand over to your expert commentary team. It's a seismic game, this one, here at Broadhurst Park. FC United taking on Hull City in the second round of the Women's FA Cup. And let's find out what happened. And let's hand over to your expert commentary team of Stato Paul. But first, me. Hull stringing the passes together on that left-hand flank. Good stuff there from the visitors early doors. And a nice ball play through here. And it's going to be a shot on goal here for Tanson. No, a cracking tackle from Abby Carrington. That gets the crowd going here. And a counter-attack being launched down the right-hand side now by FC United. A great ball into the box towards Ritchie. Ritchie has got Kershaw for support. Kershaw's going to go for goal here. No, it turns into a cross. Out to Walton. Walton here, it falls onto a left foot. Is it going to go in? No, it just goes wide. Oh, what a chance that was. Early doors here. We've not even played a minute. We've had a world-class tackle FC United's defensive line, a counter attack right to the far end, and FC United unlucky not to open the scoring. 0-0, a minute played, Paul.
Well, what a dramatic minute, and what a chance in the box as well. It was like a bit like slow motion when Emily Walton fell down and managed to poke the ball towards goal, but it just dribbled wide of the post. It's games like these where players have to set the tone. I think Abby Carrington's crunch challenge has done that.
It was a chatty challenge, that, wasn't it? It's like, get the crowd going.
It was shuddering.
Yes. Played forward towards the halfway line. Bickett puts the challenge in. O'Carroll's going to have to try and get to that ball. Doesn't. Long ball played over the top. Strong appeals there for offside, but Thompson giving on. So Bickett had to cover, and Bickett played it back to Donald. And I'm going to suggest, Paul, this might be our largest crowd for a women's team match here at Broadhurst Park. So
certainly the loudest.
We'll get confirmation of the attendance, obviously, in the second half, but it looks like job done on that front this afternoon. Carrington over the halfway line now from left back. Is there enough angle on that ball? It's cut out, but Kershaw, it's a heavy touch from Kershaw, but I think O'Carroll might win it. No, Hull get it clear. Oh no, they give this ball straight to Walton. Walton from the edge of the box goes for goal, and palmed into the air by Watton, and then caught at the second attempt. But FC United with another opportunity there.
Good stinging shot by Walton that the keeper couldn't hold.
FC United with their second corner of the afternoon. It's going to be Kershaw to take it this time round. FC attacking the light brown road in this first half. Kershaw with this corner ball in towards the near post. There's Jean, and he sits in the net. FC United take the lead here. Kershaw with the cross in. I think it was Jean on the near post. I'm not too sure if anyone else touched it on the way though. But regardless, FC United take the lead here, Paul. And thoroughly deserved. Shauna Jean, I think, opening the scoring for FC United.
I think it was Jean. The corner they didn't deal with. They dealt well with the previous corner, but this one, Jean managed to steal in, and it wasn't a great touch, but it was good enough.
Yeah, 23 minutes on the clock, FC United, 1-0 up. Well, we saw Shauna Jean, didn't we, against York. She's very unlucky not to score in that game. When we were 2-0 up, it was a great header from a corner in that game as well, where she hit the bar. So throw into Hull, 20 yards or so inside FC's half. Now taken, Hull play the ball long. Carrington rises to win that header, but the second ball is with Hull City. Here's Briley. Briley moves in field, plays the ball into the penalty area. Bickett gets a leg on it. Jean gets the ball clear. O'Carroll helps it on its way. Symington to Hunt. Hunt out to the left-hand side towards Knight. Carlin is covering. Carlin's going to have to do well. Knight, I think, is one of the best players in this league at the moment. Walton can't get to it. Symington wins it. Symington crosses the ball in. Bickett's there. Jean's going to have to put a challenge in. It's ridden, and a shot comes in, and what a fantastic finish that is from Linsky. FC United didn't clear the lines there, and Linsky had an opportunity to shoot at goal, and she took that opportunity, and what a finish, Paul.
It was a blistering strike from outside the box.
Knight moves in field, rides a couple of challenges, does the Maradona turn, played square, shot comes in from Linsky from distance, hits the post. FC United, offside flag up, but Linsky there, what a strike that was. Score stays 1-1.
It shows you how dangerous they are, even from distance. And they're a very well-drilled side who are used to winning matches, you have to say.
Well, free kick to Hull. This is a very dangerous area. I'm imagining it's going to be Linsky to take this.
And this is Hull's first free kick of the game.
Yeah, in fact, it might be Knight, actually. Well, it's Linsky or Knight. The two main threats, really, for Hull City.
This needs a very well-constructed wall.
Oh, it's taken short, and Linsky goes for goal. It takes deflection, and there, down to her right-hand side, Sophie Donald palms the ball wide of the goal. FC United will be keen to get in all square at half-time, but Hull, they've dominated the last 15 minutes or so of this game. It's going to be Hope Knight to take this corner from the corner of the main stand and the SMRE. Both hands in the air. In it comes on a left foot towards the near post. G doesn't get to it. It's flicked on there. Yards from goal. And maybe even a yard from goal. And over the bar it goes. FC United very fortunate not to go 2-1 down. Here's O'Carroll. O'Carroll to Bickett. Bickett out to the left-hand side to Carrington. Carrington. Oh, right into the challenge. Keeps hold of the ball. Still under pressure. Carrington got no options and gives the ball to Knight. Knight here is one on one. Surely this is going to be a goal. What a save by Sophie Donald. And if FC United do progress through to the third round, we'll look at that save there and thank Sophie Donald very much for it. That was a brilliant save.
And I'm sure Abby Carrington should be patting her on the back as well.
Long ball play forward. That's a great ball for Hope Knight. Hope Knight is 1-on-1 once again, and Donald does get a hand to it, but can't keep the ball out, and Hope Knight this time scores on the hour mark, and it's 2-1, Paul.
Well, again, very much like the men yesterday, we were given a warning of this when Hope Knight went through a few moments ago, and Donald made an absolutely superb save, but this time she couldn't quite keep the ball out, and Hull probably deservedly are now ahead in this second half.
Well, Hope Knight to take this corner from the right-hand side. An interesting angle for this corner. In it comes. It's a challenge on the near post. Donald gets to it, and they're on the rebound. I think it's Symington, maybe. We'll get confirmation in a second or two. Whoever scored it, it's a Hull player. And on 64 minutes, it's now 3-1. And FC United with a mountain to climb now in this cup tie. O'Carroll gets the ball to Dill. Dill now moving forward. Nutmeg Slinsky along the halfway line. Dill switches play, gets it to Walton. Walton, great back heel there to find Reeves. Reeves moving forward towards the penalty area. Oh, that's a pen. That is a definite pen.
She's given it outside the box.
No, she's given a corner, but I don't think she got the ball. Well, that we need to replay that one on the TV. I don't think she won the ball there. Paul, did she win the ball?
I don't think so.
If she did win the ball, it's the correct decision because it's a corner, but I'm not too sure. It's a corner anyway to FC United, and it's Kershaw to take this. I'm pretty sure Reeves was fouled there in the area, but corner to FC. Kershaw takes it in towards the near post. Tanser clears it, and now Hull looking to counter. Two players forward. Reeves puts the sliding challenges.
One on one.
FC United here. One player back. It's Carlin. Carlin puts the challenge in, and that breaks it up a little bit, but only a little bit. Hull are still coming forward, and Carlin is there. Carlin plays the ball back here to Donald. Symington with the throw-in. Down the left-hand side. Nice turn there by Brooks. Breaks for Linsky. Carrington puts the challenge in. Oh, it ricochets in a really unfortunate way. And this is a really unfortunate chance here. And a shot comes in. Oh, and FC United.
Offside.
Oh, and she wasn't offside. That is... Oh, my goodness me. Well, FC United, it was a great save by Donald. The shot comes in. I'd be interested to watch that one back. I don't think she was offside at all. Hope Knight there on the back post. But the goal disallowed. FC United live to fight another day. Throw-in taken there by Carlin. Down the line, headed out of play, another throw-in. We're into the 8th minute. We're approaching the 9th minute of added time. and cleared. Push there on Carlin. Play continues. O'Carroll gets the ball back to Jean. Here's Bickett. Bickett out to the left-hand side now. Carrington plays the ball down the line to Walton. Walton looking for a ball to Dill. Dill's going to get to this ball. Dill goes for goal. Oh, saved by the goalkeeper. And there's Wilding following up. And SC United get a goal back. How long's left? We don't know. But FC have got a chance. It's a small chance, but it's still a chance. Timing well, that goal in the 9th minute of added time. 99th minute. Oh, that's the final and that whistle. Is the final whistle. Unfortunately, it was a bridge too far in the end. But what a way to end it. 3-2. FC United, real unlucky, but what an effort. And what we can say, Paul, it's certainly a lot closer than it was a few weeks ago in the league.
Yeah, we've taken them the distance. And it was a brave effort from the women, but they just came up against one of the best two sides in the division today. And there's no disgrace in defeat today.
We've got to be so proud, haven't we, today? I mean,
well, to get to the second round itself is an achievement. We've never done that before. And the players have given their all. They're all exhausted out there now. It's been a really tough game.
We started the game so well. Shauna Jean scoring from a corner. We had our chances as well in the opening 25 minutes. But Hull's class was shining through, wasn't it, in the latter stages of the first half. And that continued into the second half. They were worthy of the 3-1 lead, weren't they?
Yeah, they really were. I mean, it's like, I think they came here maybe a little bit complacent, and then when they went a goal down, I think it reminded them that they had to play. From being a goal down, they went up the gears, got the equaliser, never looked back after that. At half time, we got to half-time level, didn't we? And there was still a bit of hope at half-time that we could possibly try and wrestle the initiative away from them. But they really were top dogs for 45 minutes there. And we found it very, very hard to get the ball off them and keep the ball. And they created a number of chances to score. The unfortunate thing was there was a goal from a corner that was regrettable, that Jenny will look back on and say, well, we should have defended it better. And of course there was the constant threat of Hope Knight, and Hope Knight has been the difference between the two sides in both games, I think. When you've got a lethal striker, you're going to generally come out on top.
There is a question mark, Paul. Reeves, what she brought down in the area, we want to watch it back on the TV, because I'm convinced she defender didn't get to the ball.
Well, really, it was a penalty or a corner. There was no other decision to make, was there?
No. I think that would have made it interesting, wouldn't it?
It certainly would, because presumably Reeves would have taken it, and she's a bit of a dead eye from the penalty spot. But the second goal just came tragically right at the end, and just was too little, too late. Very much like the men yesterday, in a similar position.
Yes, but FC United, well, the journey continues. Last week, obviously, we played Atletico Middleton in the County Cup, but the week before, we played York City, and we showed that we've come a long way, and I think can now safely compete with York City in the league. You have to remember, Hull City, they're second in the league. They've been in a game today. We've closed that gap.
Yeah, it was always going to be a big challenge against a side who racked up lots of wins and have a winning habit. And I think Jenny's disappointed, possibly, that we didn't push them a bit harder. But ultimately, in fact, I think she's on her way up now.
Well, we are going to be joined by Jenny Swarbrick, women's team manager. Jenny, big thank you for joining us. Unlucky, hard lines, but safe to say, we have closed that gap dramatically to Hull City now. You must be so proud of what we've seen today.
You must have been listening into our team talk then, because that's exactly what I've just said to the girls. I said they must be proud of themselves today. We took the lead. We had chances to go further ahead in the first half, and when we talk about closing the gap, we've got to be taking those chances now, and we're pushing them to take those chances in that first half, because we could have put the game to bed. but we didn't. And we let them back in the game, which was unfortunate. They're a very, very good side, and left-sided forward is very, very good, and we knew that she would cause us problems, but we prepared ourselves really, really well this week, and I'm very, very proud of the players, and we are certainly bridging that gap, and we nearly came back at the end.
Nearly.
We needed a bit more time, needed a bit of Fergie time.
I'll come to the incidents and all that in a second, but there was a penalty shout, and I'm just intrigued what your views of it was, whether she got the ball or not when Reeves was challenged. I mean, she gave the corner, which implies the referee thought she did get the ball, but from this angle, I don't think she did, but that would have made things a bit more interesting, maybe.
Oh, it would have done. I couldn't see from where I was because we were too low down. So if we watch it back on the VO, it'll be one to look at, definitely, for sure. But then I remember earlier on this season you said about having conversations about the referees and the officials.
Yes.
I know she's a very, very good referee, but I think today she was very lenient. And in that first half, she wasn't giving us anything. And in the second half, she let the game flow too much, I think, and there should have been some more fouls. And like you said, potential penalty. And I was a bit disappointed with some of the decisions, but you win some, you lose some, but we get in there.
She added the time on, though, to be fair to her. 99th minute that goal was scored.
But, was that what it was?
yeah.
Gosh.
I told Rob not to tell the time when the goal was scored to plant the idea in the brain to blow up, but it was just too late, wasn't it, unfortunately?
Yeah.
But just going back to that first half, you know, that opening 25 minutes, it was just carrying on the great work we saw away at York, but Hull came back into it. And you mentioned Hope Knight. She's, I think, probably the best player in the league.
Potentially.
And our defence has had to deal with that today. And
yeah.
On occasion, obviously, she's got the better of us, but on many occasions, she hasn't. And
yeah. I think I have a lot of respect for really good players, especially at this level. She's very good. She's very quick. She's very agile. She's got a fantastic strike on her. Her movement, her runs, very, very good. And she's a threat every time she goes in behind. So we have a lot of respect for that. But what we have to do is control our controllables. And we recognised from last time we played Hull, we analysed the shape that they had, the way that they dropped in, the rotations, where the runs were coming from and where they were trying to move the ball to. And like we said in the first half, we nullified that. Apart from one mistake, like, we really limited them. Second half became a bit more open, and we need to look into that. Like, how do we build on the first half momentum? Again, there's a gap there that's got to be closed that we've got to look at and work on. You know, keep developing fitness levels, keep developing concentration levels, keep developing squad depth so that we've got players that can come in and help out when needed. And there's a few things we've got to look at, because we keep getting these really good starts, these really good first halves, and we've got to be able to push on into the second half and try and get something from it. So there's a lot to take from the game. I'm really, really proud. And we have come a long, long way. And I mean, I've got to give a shout out to the fans. I'm just looking here now. The atmosphere today was electric. Absolutely fantastic.
Well, you wanted a record attendance. Job done. You got it. I mean,
I'm going to argue and contest that. I think it's higher. Because I tell you what, the crowd were outstanding. And
hey,
those
Jenny,
German
don't ruin
fans
it for
were
me.
Brilliant.
I said it was between 350 and 400.
I'm saying more. I am. I think all in all, there's got to be more, because the crowd were unbelievable. And I thoroughly enjoyed that today.
Yeah.
And I'd love to have that more and more here at Broadhurst Park behind the women's team.
Well, they've certainly been entertained. It's been a cracky game of football. Who do you think... I mean, I'm not discussing this with Paul, but who do you think the player of the match is? Because it's a tricky one, isn't it, from an FC perspective? Because it's been gutsy, I think, to say the least. I mean, Bickett's been brilliant, I think.
Yeah, I thought she had a very, very good game time.
That was my choice.
Oh, there we go, then. Bickett is good. I'm glad we have this conversation,
going
Paul.
Going for Bickett, I would agree. I thought she was very good.
How do we build on this, then, Jenny? Because we've talked in recent weeks, about the Wildcats being launched. We know about the development squad now being launched. The media team, Matt's done a cracky job of building up to this game. The music's been good. The entertainment on the pitch has been good. We do want to build on this now, don't we?
Yes, yeah. So I think one of the big things is trying to invite the fans back in. Unfortunately, we've got a bit of a break between now and January, playing away and so on and so forth. But we will reconnect with the fans in the new year and invite them back in. In between then, it's about our attention turns back to the league.
Yeah.
We've got obviously playing Hull again next week in their stadium, which again I'm sure will be an entertaining encounter. But we've got to focus on how we try to get points in the league now and pick up. You know, we know that it's going to be tough against Hull, so we've got to keep focusing on performance. And then as we go into, we've got Barnsley before Christmas as well. They're sitting top of the league. We don't know much about them at the moment. We're going to see if we can get some footage from somewhere.
It's a horrendous festive period, isn't it, really? It's not the best.
Yeah, it's a bit of a funny one. But it does give us a bit of a break. We do need a break. I need a break. I mean, you can tell from my voice, people are going to start calling me Sean Dash. But what that'll do is that'll freshen us up and push us on. I mean, we've got four new additions to the squad that are unfortunately cup-tied. But they're going to be coming in the shape of we've got Emily Owens and Chloe May, who made the debuts last week. Mm-hmm. And we've also signed this week, we've got Sophie Charlton coming in and Danielle as well, that's coming in as a centre-back. So we've got strength and depth now right across the board. We are looking at a second goalkeeper to come in. We are light with only having one goalkeeper because, I mean, hey, even Sophie, who's fantastic in goal and a cracking kid, she was suspended for the start of the season. We can't risk it. So we'll be looking at a keeper coming in. And it's things like this that will bridge the gap. I'm also looking at a first-team coach coming in to work alongside me as well, because we're growing and there's a need for it now. So, again, where we're from the beginning of the season, 7-1 against Doncaster Bells with a very, very sparse team on the pitch. Yeah. And Elsie being on the pitch as well.
Miles
at one point. It's, you know, I had no staff, no players, no nothing, yeah, to where we are today and these fantastic fans support. I mean, I'm looking behind me now and looking in here and how fantastic this is. It is brilliant. This has been a cracking environment. And at the end of the day, I come back to what football is all about. It's about entertaining people. Yes. Today was entertaining and I'm proud of that. And we'll push on from there and we'll go again.
Mentioning Elsie Baxter, I go back to the Clapton game in pre-season. Blimey, what were you 5 months after that? And look at this. Jenny, just well done today. Obviously, Hull City, a class team. But as we head towards the second part of the season now, we've got to be optimistic with regards to the league, haven't we? Just your closing thoughts.
Yeah, we know. The only team we don't know anything about is Barnsley. Everybody else, we've got footage on, we've got experience playing against. We've come a long, long way. We will set ourselves up to try and get as many points as we can in the second half of the season. And as we've said, it's Project Great Escape, and we will escape relegation this season, and we'll be, that is my promise to the club.
Well, Jenny Swarbrick, unlucky today, but a brilliant game. Congratulations to everyone involved with the women's team. This has been the occasion that we wanted it to be. It's been superb. We obviously not the outcome we wanted, but we go again, as Manchester say. Big good luck next week at Craven Park against Hull in the return match in the league, and we'll catch up again soon.
Thank you very much, guys. Cheers. Thank you.
Well done, Jenny.
Jenny Swarbrick there, women's team manager, joining us here on Women's Team Live. And Paul, I think we should go. Yeah. Your closing thoughts.
Yeah,
what a weekend.
We've given it our best shot today. We came up against the side that's just too good for us, I'm afraid, at this level, but. Yeah, it was a brave run to the second round. We've made a bit of money on the side, which the club no doubt will appreciate. And let's hope that we can pick up the threads next week in the league and start picking up some points.
Absolutely. Just a reminder, next commentary for FC Radio will be Saturday at Gainsborough Trinity. Join us from 2:30 if you can't make that game in person. But a big thank you for joining us for Women's Team Live. Not the result we wanted, but certainly the event we wanted here at Broadhurst Park. Enjoy the rest of your Sunday. Thank you to Stato Paul. Big thank you to you, dear listener, for joining us. But we're going to go now. You'll be here from us again next week. Bye-bye.
Women's Team Live there from Sunday afternoon. To the men's team now, and last Tuesday evening, FC United travelled to Lancashire to take on Bamber Bridge. And here's the FC Live team now with all the highlights.
Northern Premier League action for you this evening here on FCM Radio. And good to have our listeners on North Manchester FM as Donoghue plays it down the right flank there, and now Gabidon has it. Gabidon trying to slip his man here, comes across, waiting for it. It's Guy Hall in the box. Guy Hall to his right foot, shoots, good save, chance for rebound, it's a goal! And it's Max Woodcock with his first goal for FC. Hall was in space, a good cross from Gabidon. Hall, good composure, put it on his right foot. Decent save there by Pradic with his left foot there, but it came out only as far as Woodcock, who was on the mark. And FC United take the lead here in the fifth minute. Bamber Bridge nil, FC United and Manchester 1. Now Macaulay Wilson doesn't reach its destination there with Charlie Oliver getting in the way. Now Donoghue down that right flank over halfway for Dante Gabidon. Can he get there? Yes, he can. Still with a chance, Gabidon shoots. Defender had got back though. FC with a real chance to double their lead there. Lafferty. Oh, Ennis tries a dummy there. Second ball won well by Munro. Really, really good work from Munro. Bustling through here. Munro all the way. Munro! Oh, what a goal! Charlie Munro, he seized on the ball there and just drove through. And I suppose from a Bamber Bridge point of view, they'll be wondering, wouldn't somebody at least leg him up?
On the flip side, though, has he scored a better goal in his career? That's a question to be asked at some point.
Oh, really?
I was going to say that's goal of the month contest sorted, isn't it, for this month? They did try and foul him.
And he had the composure to finish it.
So, into the 30th minute and another corner for Bamber Bridge. Looking to halve the deficit here. Michael Potts, decent looking near post delivery. It's bobbling around there and it's gone in.
He's given a foul.
No, he's given handball.
Referee's given handball there.
The player's on the floor and he's controlled it with his hand.
And there's no protest from Bamber Bridge, so FC. A little bit of a let off though. So FC have really got to be on their mettle here this time. Left footed in swinger. And a short one again. Here's Churchman. Chips it in, far post. Bevy of white shirts. It's scrambling and shout for a handball penalty.
Penalty
for Bamber Bridge. Well, FC protesting, but FC really adamant that it hit the player on the chest, but referee having absolutely none of it. And a chance for Bamber Bridge to halve the deficit. So Ewan Bange waiting patiently. Boys, what can he do? Whistle go, here comes Bange. Oh, perfect penalty. Bamber Bridge get it back to 2-1. Now it's Potts. Potts now comes forward. Got white shirts either side of him. Here's Baxter. Baxter thinking about a shot here, I think. Baxter twisting and turning. Left-footed shot. And it's a goal. It's 2-2. Well, how did that get through? As FC look around at each other, but Bamber Bridge are back from two goals down to level it at 2-2. Oh, and Donoghue is fouled. Potts.
Big decision coming up.
And he just takes a moment here. Yellow card.
And a red.
And Potts goes off. Well, how about that? Michael Potts. What do we think? They're a little harsh.
Yeah. I think the first one was definitely yellow, but that's just a challenge, isn't it?
I think that was possibly a result of the yellow cards. He's gone a bit card happy.
Ennis there flicks it on, using Gabidon's pace here. Gabidon. Can he get into the box here, Gabidon? Left footed shot. Near post! He saw where the keeper was. And FC United restore the lead. It's 3-2. That was clever from Gabidon. He was shown inside again. He noticed that Pradic had drifted towards the right of his goal and saw there was a gap at near post and took full advantage. Bamber Bridge 2, FC United 3. Bamber Bridge have it now driving towards the goal. Ready for a right footed shot. Deflection! Yeah! And it's gone in, it's 3-3. Wicked deflection. Bamber Bridge with a chance. Cross from the right-hand side, could ensue here. Low cross in, Bange on the turn, hits the bar! Griffiths clears FC's lines, Kane there, second to the ball. Great determination again. Here's Forbes. Forbes thinking about a shot, Donoghue goes in. Now Donoghue driving forward. End-to-end stuff here. And there goes the final whistle. Well, credit to both sides.
FC Live there from Tuesday night. And so on to Saturday's fixture now. And FC United welcome Matlock Town to Broadhurst Park. And for all the build-up, let's hand over to Ben and Woodso in the main stand.
Welcome everyone to Broadhurst Park. And you join us here on a Saturday afternoon as FC United are hosting Matlock Town in the Northern Premier League.
Ooh.
Premier Division. And that, you can hear in the background, was the big welcome back to Woodso. Hello, Woodso, welcome back.
Good afternoon, you all right?
So we've come here today and it's very frosty, isn't
it's
it?
It's very frosty.
But it was much drier at Bamber Bridge on Tuesday. What's your thoughts on that game? A 3-3 draw?
I think a draw probably was par in terms of the overall game. In terms of chances created, as we said at half-time, it wasn't. We should have been out of sight at half-time.
Yes.
That's the disappointing thing. I think I've just read Neil's notes in the programme, so I sort of agree that he thinks we weren't bold enough when they went to 10 men and let him in and let them control the game a little bit, the tempo of it. I think we're tired. I think the pitch was a bit heavy for some of our short-legged players.
Yes, especially towards the end. It got very slippy. And
not only that, I think as well we lost a little up front when we had to make the two changes up front. Two that replaced and came on up front weren't as good as the... Not, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
They weren't in the game as much as the other two.
I had three players to talk about after Tuesday's game. Charlie Ennis, I think, was pivotal, actually. And when he went off, that didn't help.
Yeah.
And certainly when Woodcock and Gabidon went off, that
absolutely
really did affect things.
I was surprised. I mean, I did raise an eyebrow, as always, at the man of the match, because I thought Gabidon would have walked it. He scored a great goal, Charlie. So he had a good game, Charlie Munro. In fact, almost, there was nobody on the side who didn't have a good game. It was just... We like three silly goals in. One was a penalty that...
Well, we've watched it back.
You've watched it back. I've seen your message that you sent. And
well, the highlights are available now on the FCM TV YouTube channel.
Watched it.
And the thing is about it is Jones has got his arms in the air.
Yeah.
It does hit his chest. It doesn't hit his hands. But it's a flash. And the thing is, the referee's only got that.
He's only got that. If he sees hands in the air and he shouts.
Exactly. He's not got super slow motion.
And he's probably got the disallowed goal in his mind as well, which was correctly disallowed.
Now, the thing is about the highlights is, ironically, it's the referee who gets in our way of the highlights to be able to see it. But me and Woodzo independently can verify that...
On the disallowed goal?
Yes. It definitely hit. His arms,
he was sat on the floor and he sort of palmed it back with his hand.
Yes.
It was like a rugby union.
And that's why most of the players complain, but he doesn't, because he knows.
He knows. So, anyway,
It's the player on the floor. You don't get to see it on the TV highlights.
Yeah.
But being there
I was
person,
saying that in the stands. So I saw it clearly. Yeah.
Now, apart from the penalty shout, which we say is one of them things, the two other goals, they are soft goals. And,
yeah,
and Neil says so in his post.
Yeah, he does. And I mean, the second one, I don't know whether he got a touch or the keeper's onside. It went straight through him, didn't it? Which is disappointing. From where I was sat, I didn't see a deflection. I just saw it go. It went through a mass of players. And he saw it very, very late. The third one, I don't really know what actually happened.
It took a deflection and it went a long way.
Again, three soft goals.
Yes.
But then...
They did hit the bar.
And hit the bar as well. Mm. Shouldn't have mattered. We should have been four or five at half-time, to be fair. I thought a draw was par, but we should have won the game. That's the frustration about it, again.
I agree.
Thank you.
We go to Matlock Town today, then.
Well, we don't. We come here.
Unbelievable. We come to the Matlock Town game. Let me reword it, then, for your benefit. We come to the... Just in case you're wondering where you are, you're not...
Yeah, well, I was wondering.
We are here at Broadhurst Park for the Matlock game now. It is... We've seen this so many times over the years. This side of the pitch, it never gets the sunlight.
No, it stands on the wrong side.
Yes.
But anyway.
What do we do? I mean, Swampy's saying it's fine.
It's fine. It just looks...
It looks...
Yeah, they've had the lights on. Groundsman's had the lights on it. That goal mouth was frozen. It's all right now. He's had the light shine on it. Once people run about on this, it'll crack. It's not frozen, apparently.
What are you expecting today? I mean, Matt will be smarting from getting beat by guys.
Well, they are top of the form table. Number one, numero uno. But they lost 4-0 to Geisley midweek, who we beat last week. So, 0-0. Yeah. Probably.
Let's keep that in just in case.
I think it's going to be tough. I was wrong last week because last Saturday when Geisley scored, I sent a WhatsApp that said, let's all go home now, that's all, folks. And of course, happy to be proven wrong. I wouldn't like to concede early or first against these, to be fair. Having said that, obviously, Margaret's is out. So that works in our favour, but the formation looks decent now with the three centre-halves. I feel sorry for Malachy Reeve because Declan looked more suited to that formation on Tuesday than he did last Saturday. I think he did all right last Saturday, actually. Apart from I did think he was going to get sent off because he was on a yellow card and was launching himself into tackles. So he seems to have signed for us at a bad time just to have changed formation that might not suit him. So I wouldn't be surprised if Declan plays right back again. We're growing into that formation. I think we did all right once we got used to it last Saturday.
Up front, especially with those two.
If they're fit and raring to go today, that's a good thing. We got the ball. The one thing about Tuesday night, which has been a criticism for a couple of seasons now, we don't get the ball forward quick enough.
Mm-hmm.
You can't say that on Tuesday. I'm not saying it wasn't long ball. It was very direct.
It was
an aimed direct ball.
What was the third goal like? It was Ennis over the top
over the
for Gabidon to run onto.
Yeah.
And it worked a treat. Fingers crossed that can happen again today.
I agree.
Woods, a big thank you for joining us pre-match.
That's fine.
Enjoy the game.
And, well, I'll try to.
We'll catch up again next time.
Yeah, thank you.
Well, Neil, a big thank you for joining us pre-match. When we got here today, we could see this is typical when it's cold weather. The main stand roof blocks the pitch from getting sunlight. Is this going to be a problem, this frosty bit here?
We built it on the wrong side, didn't we?
Yes, we did.
On the other side. No, it's not. It's just top frost. Underground is really soft. You can see it's green underneath. It's firm. It's really good surface, and I can't believe how green it is. I know that sounds daft as a football pitch, but Andy fed it a couple of weeks ago, and just look at the colour of it now in going into December. It's immaculate.
Yeah, it really is. What about training on Thursday after Tuesday's game? There were some good performances on Tuesday, so.
Training was brilliant. Handed over to Rob, and he worked on, on the system. People are getting it a little bit more, walked us through it. And it all came to fruition, and listen, we're two games into a new system. We're not saying we won't go back to our old system, but two games into a new system, 4 points, and we're scoring goals, which is a good thing.
And up front, excitingly, I thought, on Tuesday night, Gabidon and Woodcock. You know, that third goal, Ennis just plays it over the top, and we've got runners running after the ball. I mean, that's
just a shout out today. I got a phone call at 12:30 off operations manager Nigel Brooks saying that there'd been an issue with Max Woodcock on the IFAS system. There's a red line through him, which means that you can't play him. So anyway, we were trying to frantically get hold of the league. Nigel has been working on the clock for the last 2 hours and eventually got hold of Laura, and she said it was just a glitch in the system, so the red line was taken off. So, you know, we were thinking about the way we'd set up on Thursday. Does it all go to waste, really? But no, Max is okay. But like I said, it gives us pace and power down the middle. I thought when Dante gets into his stride and young Maxi gets into his stride, you know, they're a real threat. And maybe, well, you'll see with the team today when we go through it that we've just tweaked it slightly.
Okay, okay. And just to mention for Laura, she works really hard for the league. She's on call all the time, and she's on a Saturday.
Non-stop. She doesn't have any time off. And they do a great job. And I know they come in sometimes for a little bit of criticism, but they do a great job, and, you know, they've done us a favour today.
So you're going to tweak things ever so slightly. Matlock will be smarting a little bit after Tuesday night's defeat against Geisler. Obviously the question mark was Jonathan Margetts, whether he'd be available or not. So
I don't know if he's available. I haven't seen, but obviously, you know, you look at the goal scoring charts, he scored 23, and then the next goal scorer behind that scored 3, you know, and the one behind that scored 2, so you can see where the majority of the goals coming from. They've conceded a similar amount to us this season, which shows that they ship in every game, because we've had a couple of Tonkins or 3 Tonkins this season, so shows that we're quite tight in other games. But, you know, they'll give us opportunities, and we've just got to make sure that we're on hand to take the opportunities. But, you know, we've all been there when you've lost back-to-back games. It's kind of your next one's a bit of a free throw. And they're coming here today thinking they've just got to turn up and maybe they can nick something.
How important is it just to not just, you know, put a good performance in, but keep that run going? I mean, you mentioned Krakow, throwing in Lancaster, Geisler, Bamber Bridge. We're starting to turn the corner, it feels like, a little bit.
It just bodes well. I mean, when you haven't won in 6 and everyone's going, oh, you haven't won, and they remind you, it goes quiet when you haven't lost in 4. You know, people forget to remind themselves of that we haven't lost in 4. So, you know, we've got to kind of ignore the noise and keep doing what we're doing. But the pleasing thing is now, you know, the lads are coming back from injury, suspensions. You like to Curtis Jones now playing, you know, his third game. Donoghue, Touchwood, you know, having a run of form and fitness. You got Munro back to what he looked arguably his best. Griffiths has missed with a back injury. He's back again today. So, you know, it bowls really well. And when we go for our side today, I think people are looking at it and think this is a young, energetic, fit, hungry, determined, driven side.
So how are we looking then? You can tell us. You can trust us, Neil.
So we're going to rest Charlie Oliver today. Kind of bruising underneath your foot that doesn't go away without rest. He hasn't trained for the last 3 Thursdays. He's just been managing through games. We thought it was important to bring in a third, another centre-half, which we did in Laff, but we've also done in Mal as well. So it gives Chaz an opportunity to rest. So Mal will come in on the right-hand side of the 3.
Which he can play.
His position. Yes. That's his position, and he's rapid. He's 6'1". You'll have Laff in the middle of that, who I think has been a revelation since he's come to the club. And I think every time he heads and kicks it, the crowd cheer. You know, a bit of a throwback to maybe Chaddy, that what he was. And then the left-hand side will be Curtis Jones, and who will captain the side today. In front of that, worked on a little bit of a narrower shape. So Guy Hall will come on the left. Donoghue will go on the right, tucked in. And Charlie Munro and Luke Griffiths will split the centre midfield pairing. With Depp McGlock breaking from a deep area, from a box-to-box midfielder, with Max Woodcock and Dante down the middle. So right. Charlie Ennis and Charlie Oliver dropped to the bench today just for a rest. Charlie Ennis, I think, has been magnificent. You know, people who don't know, we've lost one game in 13 that he's played, but he's also not getting younger, and he's played back-to-back games now. So it's just a rest for Charlie, but he has been magnificent.
So that is a definitely young, hungry side, like you say. So fingers crossed. What's your final thoughts as we head into this game then?
I've just said to the lads in there, if we can get Broadhurst Park rocking, you know, from minute one today, that is our 12th man, and you only have to see what the crowd do when we get them off the feet. So we've got to take our handbrake off, our safety catch off. You know, play with freedom. We're not chasing a win, because we haven't won. We have won. You know, we won last Saturday. We've got a point at Lancaster. So take the safety catch off, play with freedom, play with that confidence, create chances, we'll score goals, stretch play when we can, use the pace, outrun them, because we're a young side and they're maybe a little bit older than us, and just go and get the win. And that's what we've said in there, but we're going to have to stick to the instructions that we've been through in training. But the group are fantastic. I've never away from that since day one. So I'm going to back them. I'm going to back them for a win today, because I think there's a really good camaraderie around the group. And if we win today, that puts them to 25 points. And if results go our way, maybe 4 or 5 points outside the playoffs.
Well, Neil, big good luck this afternoon. Big thank you for joining us pre-match, and we'll catch up again at full time.
Cheers, Ben.
Gabadon, can he get past his player? Yes, he can. Superb play from Gabadon. The defender's struggling to get there. Has Gabadon played it too much? No, he hasn't. Ball comes across. There's an opportunity. Oh, it's hit. FC play on the back of the heel. Oh, I think it was Woodcock there, wasn't it? It just went behind him.
Williams plays it forward. Important header from Munro, but trying to break forward here. And Matt Locker, Demi has it now. Demi just takes a moment and then tries to slide it through there. And it bounces for Dwyer with a shot. And a decent save from Boyce there. It will be a corner ball.
I think more than a decent save, that, James. That's a superb save. Very strong wrists. And, well, as you say, that's the first real shot in any form of anger in the game so far.
Plenty of blue shirts to aim at. In comes the delivery. Just onto the six-yard line. It's another corner. Header from Nathan Whitehead there, and it was McLaughlin got in the way.
Did well there, McLaughlin, because it was goal-bound, and he's got his head and got it out for another corner.
So a skipper, John Johnson, with a second bite of the cherry. Another corner here. And it comes. Nice delivery. Whitehead this time. And it's a simple one. It was a perfect delivery. And Whitehead got up above everyone else. Headed it perfectly placed to the keeper's right. FC would like to have done better, you feel. But it's FC United 0. Matlock Town 1, 32nd minute.
You've got to say, I mean, that was, it was drilled superbly as a corner ball. It was met by the big number four. Whitehead, and there's nothing you could do. The ball came with so much pace and no one was there apart from Whitehead, and he's drilled it in. There's nothing FC could do. But an even game. We're defending well, but we're not clearing the ball further enough away from the danger zone. That is the only downside. It's not necessarily worrying, but we've got to improve upon that, and we've got to improve upon this near touch line as well.
Donoghue with an plays it back now. Demi with a left footed shot. It's 2-0. Donny kind of, he flicked it back on the volley, unsighted really, didn't know where the ball was going. It was a tough pass to take, but Demi was right onto it and finished with aplomb, and it's 2-0 Matlock Town.
Well, you don't play balls like that with that kind of pace just outside your own 18 yard area, and Donny was trying to do something, and it's basically whacked off him, gone perfectly positioned for the Matlock player, and he's drilled it, no problem at all.
Now here's Munro, space for Guy Hall on the left. I said, ocean of space. Donoghue goes it alone. It's a left-footed brilliant shot from Gabidon, and it's a corner ball. It's a fine save from Saldini, and that's probably the closest FC have come there.
Well, two saves in that goal, and both excellent saves. One earlier on from Pat Boyce, but that was a superb save again from the goalkeeper. And Gabidon did well. He dug it out, bent it towards the top corner, but good defending. Bilardo coming on for FC, and the visitors making a substitution as well. It's a long clearance high in the air. FC make another mistake, and is it going to be three? It's going to be three.
That was a catastrophic error from Lafferty. He let the ball bounce, and it's 3-0.
The ball played through. It's a great ball now. Gabadon in the penalty area. Can he get the shot away? Yes, he can. Can he score? Yes, he can. Superb finish. Absolute quality. Is it too late? Who knows? But that is the kind of finish you want from a quality player. Ball came into his feet, opened his body, went past the player, drilled it beyond the goalkeeper, and FC have a goal. FC clear the lines, but clear the lines only as far as the blue shirt, and then, well, Ennis does really well. And here comes FC United, Munro on the ball. And, well, that is certainly a yellow card.
He's on a yellow.
And he's on a yellow already.
Oh, is he really not? That's got to be a second yellow, surely. The guy is through. Munro is through.
If he hadn't have got a yellow, he would have got one there. That's poor.
I mean, it was a soft yellow, the first one. I don't know whether that comes into play, but it shouldn't do. I think Adam Yates,
he's a very lucky man.
Who, by the way,
so what's the referee seen there to not make it a yellow card when he's just taken out a player? That's a yellow card all day long. Munro dead centre, about 40 yards out. Shoots. Oh, and it's saved initially by the goalkeeper, and it's spun back. And it hit this, I think it hit the bottom of the post and spun out for a corner ball. Well, he's done what I wanted him to do there. He's hit it low and hard off the surface. It skimmed, the keeper spills, and FC United very unlucky not to be 2-3. Donoghue on the ball now. With the ball in right to left. Or is he going to play a simple ball across? He plays a simple ball across. There's an overlap there, but here we go again. Ball inside the penalty area. Opportunity now for FC Brown. The goalkeeper, the ball comes in. Oh, good defending there, but exactly what you want from your centre forward, to put the ball in like that. It's Donoghue again at the edge of the area. Does really well, goes past one, right, another challenge, cuts back inside, or thinks about it, and eventually does cut back inside. Then he goes out to the outside, plays the ball Here comes Gabadon again. Gabadon with a bit of pace there. Can he keep beyond the bail line? Yes, he can. Oh, and it's opportunity. And well, that's a corner ball. It did. It just ricocheted off there, didn't it, initially? That was good play there from FC. And Gabadon nearly getting a second. And it remains FC 1. The visitors 3. The ball chips in towards the back post of the penalty area. Goes across Curtis Jones. He wins the header. Second ball comes in. Curtis Jones, goal! Well, that was just Curtis Jones at his best. He won the first header. It was half cleared, and Curtis Jones went, I can get on the end of that, and he's hit it with his right foot and into the back of the net, and FC United now 2, Matlock Town 3. And well, it'll be interesting to note how many more minutes the referee is going to afford. Ball in the corner, in the corner area as well. Ball out of play. Oh, well done, referee. Well, they were supposed to be 4 minutes, but the...
That's outrageous. Is that the full-time whistle?
Yeah, yeah. How many?
22 seconds. Well, who knows what would have happened, but that is outrageous. There was the most naked time-wasting there. But, you know, let's face it, you know, FC didn't lose the game because of... But having said that, the referee's got... It cannot allow 20 seconds of added time when 4 minutes was miserly anyway.
It was, as you say... It didn't reflect on the game, but you've got to play to the letter of the law, and you've got to play the right amount of minutes, because FC United were in the ascendancy there, and another 2 minutes there could have been something, but there wasn't. And well, as I say, you go to the very beginning of the game where there was possibly a penalty, and then you go the last 25 minutes of the game where there's a clear second yellow card. I mean, he's taken out FC's player, and he's looked, and he says, I'll just give a free kick. Absolutely dreadful, dreadful from the referee. But as you say, it didn't undo the poor second half of the first half, and well, FC United find themselves...
Good. Kegster joined us for an expert comment.
Right. Full pull the pen quickly. Let him know Keg and Swampy are back. Well, we're joined by Keg. So, good afternoon, Keg. How the devil are you?
I'm good, thanks. How are you? Well, it's been a long time.
It has been a long time. It's been a long time since we've done this. And what are your thoughts?
So, we had a chat with Renault, quite a long chat with Renault pre-match, which he compared to an interview.
Oh, right. Oh, that's good.
So, he described his new system to me, 3-5-2.
Mm.
The first half, from what I could see, we didn't really trouble...
No.
We didn't really trouble them at all. That wasn't a thing. Well, I came out, we had a quick chat, and it changed after partway through the first half, didn't it, really?
Yeah,
that 3-5-2 didn't last very long. The new system didn't last very long in this game.
Not in this game, no. I think you're quite right there. It was a game where your three centre-backs, one of them didn't quite know what they were doing, and hence it came off at half-time. It didn't quite work. It wasn't... I mean, it worked to a degree on Tuesday against Bamber Bridge.
Yeah.
It's a new formation, but he said he's not going to be shy in going back to the old system. Got a new coach in, obviously, who took the coaching sessions over the last few days. A lad who's come from Lancaster City. He's been working with the players, so it's...
Well, it's more his system, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the impression I got from Renault pre-game, that it's more his system, the new guy, than Renault's system.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, it's clear, though, that the old system wasn't working.
Yeah.
The old system is more about getting to the final third and then things just stopped.
That has been a problem all season, hasn't it? You can play all the football in the world, but if there's no end product, it's pretty much pointless.
Well, let's talk about three things. We'll talk about possession, and the possession stats we've had so far this season are pretty good.
Yeah.
But let's talk about shape, and let's talk about what's wrong at that end of the pitch and what's wrong with that end of the pitch. And I'm talking about defensively and up front. Now, we nearly made a game out of this today, but too little too late.
I think to a degree, possession-wise, we're good in possession. We gave the ball away in too many dangerous positions. Simple passing, when normally we are good on the ball, but Curtis Jones made a number of errors. And I think everyone made a number of errors in the game. So possession-wise, yes, good to points, but in certain areas, lose the ball in the wrong areas of the game. Shape, well, when you're 3 down, shape goes out the window a great deal, doesn't it? You just end up trying to do something,
react,
square around.
Shove players up front.
And for me, I mean, Donoghue, he's trying to run the game second half, and he's working really hard. And So the shape, sort of, they try to keep the shape, but we didn't, with the sort of like two wing backs going a bit narrow initially and then coming out and getting behind their defenders, it never really happened that. It didn't happen enough. It happened on occasion, but Guy Hall didn't really get a chance to bomb down the left-hand side or the right-hand side in the whole game at all. Last 10 minutes, yes, maybe. But there's two issues earlier, though. In the first half, Ben's pretty convinced penalty for FC against Woodcock. And in the second half, a yellow card that never came from 25 yards out when the player's completely taken out, and it would have been his second yellow. And then you were grasping at straws to a degree, but the referee has got to, you've got to give the yellow card there. FC 1-3 down against 10 men, 20 minutes to go. The game can be different. I mean, but he never gave it. We got the second goal back, but not enough time.
Now, I don't know how much time you've been able to devote to FC this radio this season. I've been to most of the home games and watched, and I've been to a few of the away games. I'd like to bring Ben in here purely because, for a consistency view, Ben.
Yes.
Purely because of a couple of things, again, with my, in inverted commas, interview with Renault, yeah, in the bar before the game, is Renault made a big play of the fact that inconsistency and not being able to play a settled team. Is that a big thing?
It has been in October and November when Jones has been out and Monroe's been out. He hasn't been able to pick his strongest team. And even today, Oliver's on the bench. It's not his strongest team. And he's making changes as the game, as that first half progresses, doesn't it? With Donoghue and McLaughlin, he switches it round. And
so the follow-on question from that then, but the thing is, there's a difference between being able to play your strongest team and having consistency, or figuring out what your strongest team and your best shape is. Those are two different things that I think need to be discussed on a wider level. I would also say that, though, we're looking overall so far this season like we're a team that can get 4 points from 10. And now, general question to you guys is that good enough?
And
at that point, do we have to have a really serious look at, is that good enough?
I think 3 points were here today.
3 points? Well, we didn't get them.
No, we didn't get them, but 3 points were here today.
The last 30 minutes of this game, we made it a game, but the first 60, did we? But I'd like to take it wider than this game. Because it's about the season, isn't it now?
You're saying, I think you're trying to say that we're inconsistent, which we are.
Well, of course we are. Well, clearly we are. But we have a great game every now and again.
I go back to what happened on Tuesday night.
That's 4-10.
Go back to what happened on Tuesday night with Bamber Bridge. It's two soft goals, a penalty that shouldn't have happened.
Yeah, yeah.
And we would have been 11th, which I think we can all agree, as old school broadcasters here, 11th in FC United, that's where you want to be.
That's standard.
And it does only take a couple of wins, but this today is frustrating. But we're taking on a team who...
Well, we're taking on an informed team. I mean, I know the guys...
I'd argue this result here, fine, there's elements to it. I'd argue that the games against Stafford Rangers away, Atherton Coles here, they're the games.
They're the disappointing
games.
They're the disappointing games.
Right. I think Bamber Bridge away a point, Lancaster a point. I think they're decent results, to be honest. I think this today should have been a draw, or at least close to a win for FC. So I don't think...
You think this should have been close to a win for FC?
Yeah, I do, yeah. I genuinely think they should have had a player sent off partway through that second half.
Right, OK. So the last seven or eight games, we've conceded 2.5 goals a game.
Yes.
That's not...
No, I know. I agree with you.
That's not good enough.
I agree with you.
That's not mid-table even.
No, I said about the Bamber Bridge game on Tuesday night. The goals were conceded on Tuesday, and Neil said this in his post-match. Soft goals, really, really soft goals. And I think a lot of the goals have been soft goals.
But I said to Renault pre-match, this 3-5-2, this new system, is that going to cure the problems we've got at both ends of the pitch? Both ends of the pitch was, we're conceding too many. We are conceding too many goals per game. We are.
We're going into this match today talking about how exciting we are going forward.
But I'm trying to get away from this match. I'm trying to think of the bigger picture.
I'm saying the bigger picture. I'm saying coming off the back of Geisler and Bamber Bridge, where we've scored 6 goals, I think we looked good going forward. There's still a problem at the back. Today's problem, and Swampy called it earlier, I think just dropping Reeves in his second game.
It gave them the impetus in the first 45 minutes. I mean, we were nice on the ball in the first 30 minutes, but without doing a great deal. They had 12 shots in the first half to our 2. Reeves was isolated. And the one thing you've got to remember as well this afternoon is the two goals that came. Now, for me, the corner ball, for me, it's a great corner delivery and it's a great header. And it's a bullet header for me.
He had a dress rehearsal, though, moments earlier, didn't he?
We did. The second goal is totally avoidable. It's a rush of blood from the defence, kicking the ball out really quickly, hitting Donoghue, and Donoghue whacking the ball back, which ordinarily you would never do any other part of the pitch. And they're 2-0 up. We get back into it early in the second half if we can, but we don't. We end up 3-0 down. You get one back. So there's a lot of positives. I mean, Keg, to be honest, I'm quite lucky as I watch the games.
I'm more frustrated.
Yeah, well, I'm
positive.
And me
right
too, because there goes my record of.
I was quite positive pre-match.
I think everyone.
And then I watched that, and I'm frustrated again.
But I think the worst thing is, unfortunately, I think we are as a club. We've got good players. One basic mistake led to a goal. The other one was the third goal, as Ben says, you can't defend the ball if you're being grabbed. But overall, I understand those resulted in goals. However, there was many opportunities where FC were poor in defence, where it could have been more goals.
There was a couple of counter attacks, weren't there?
So I agree with you. The defence is something that he wants to look at. This 3-5-2 may stay. We started, remember, a few years ago, and we had a better caliber player.
How much of Reeves, though, Reeves' problem today was the wing back on his side, because it was Donoghue to begin with, and then it was changed to McLaughlin halfway through. It was like it wasn't working in front of him. So it just, the whole system wasn't working until towards the end there, when suddenly I think Matlock sat back a little bit to defend the lead, which they're obviously going to do, and we created some good chances.
Let's talk generally about physicality within the team. To be fair, until that system change and that 3-5-2 came in, where we were just not competing physically with other teams, were we? We weren't.
Yeah, no, I agree.
It's a young team.
Yeah, a very young team, yeah.
And that's part of the problem.
But that's why I think Lafferty coming in is actually a good idea.
I think with the exception of the first couple of seasons, I don't think we've ever had a very physical team ever since.
No, we haven't.
And a very quiet team.
Correct.
Very quiet.
And yeah,
very,
yeah.
And FC have always, whatever management we've had, have always had footballers rather
than
it took us
seven or eight seasons to get out of this division.
Yeah, and in them games, I mean, we did have some big strong centre halves.
Is that not because? Right, we're going off on a tangent.
Tell you
here,
why.
Is that not because the style of play that FC United as a club, they want flair players, they want passing, they want
that's
movement.
That's exactly it.
If you want a team of, let's use the term meatheads, who are going to get you promoted, who are functional and get the ball forward, let's say. I'm not going to use an example, but there's teams in the league.
There's quite a few.
There's going to have players, naturally, who aren't going to be introvert. They're going to be battling, and that's just the nature.
The question is from a...
It's a mix, though, isn't it?
Well, I think Lafferty coming in...
Of meatheads and players. Do you know what I mean? But it is, isn't it? It's, yes, it's getting that right, and we've never got that right.
No, I mean...
I'd like to see us get that right.
Every person that's ever been involved has never got it right, you know. You get that, trying to get that blend. You're trying to get a blend of, well, I mean... the best.
That's how you get promoted.
Is you get a blend of youth and experience, and maybe with a couple of really hard men in that team as well. And that is very hard to replicate and get right. And that's why we are where we are and have been.
I think you need that mix of physicality and skill.
I agree.
And your man's here.
Thanks, Keg, for joining us.
Well, it's a blast from the past. Neil, thanks for joining us. A frustrating afternoon. How do you think it went overall in the first 45 minutes, let's say?
Never really been up for one here to highlight individuals, but flipping it, you've watched it yourself, Swampy. You can't defend like that. You can't defend like that. You know, the three pathetic goals in every way. And then, you know, then luckily we've got Michael Donoghue, who'll run around, and we've got the energy from Dante, and we've got the energy from Max, who brings us back in the game, and it looks like that we've got back to 3-2, but in hindsight, Swampy, you defend like that, well, you ain't going to win football games. And unfortunately, I'll say it now, there's very, very little I can do from the sidelines if we're going to defend like that.
Yeah, 18 minutes in, Woodcock in the penalty area, from this position, we weren't 100% sure, but it looked like he got in front of the player took him, and then Woodcock then went into him afterwards. Do you think it was a penalty?
Max says it was a penalty. The ref said, the usual comment at half-time, I'll have to look back on it. But listen, we've gone in at half-time 2-0. We've got to make the changes. We make the changes. We come out second half. We're on the front foot, aren't we? We're going for it. But Ennis got on the ball. Munro got on the ball. And then, boom, sucker punch. The old art of defending we don't do. And then we still believe. And we still knock at the door. And we still drive on. What we're not to be.
But giving the ball away today, both first half and second half, in simple places and equally... giving the ball to the opposition, not just putting the ball out, giving it to the opposition, making it easier for them. I mean, experienced players were doing that more than once and twice this afternoon, I mean, which is not necessarily what they do. But
what you taught as a young lad, sideways pass kills you. Sideways passes kill you. I remember my dad saying it when I was 8 years old. We continually want to play sideways passes. People go, oh, it's Renault ball. He says, well, I don't coach to go sideways. We coach to go forward and play round and rotate. The amount of sideways passes we gave, and then all that happens is the fan goes up and says, I'm sorry, Dave McLaughlin in second half, we're on the front foot. He's looking at Dante to make a run. He comes back inside, plays a square ball. They nearly go and score from it. Curtis Jones played square ball. Lafferty played square ball. Guy Hall played square ball. They nearly score from it. Square balls kill you. But we did a drill on Thursday night, which was all forward play, second movement, forward play. So, like Rob Emery said at half time, you were absolutely brilliant on Thursday night. How dare you come to Broadhurst Park today and not do what we've done on Thursday night, because you've got a little bit of noise from the fans. Now, we've set it up and we expect all of us to play forward. We've done it in training. It was brilliant. It was a great bounce. People were there. You get here today, mindset, mentality takes over and they'll do what they want to do. And unfortunately, when players do what they want to do, the devil comes in. And when they play to a system or a style of play, generally we get the better results.
Possession, okay. But with possession comes no shots in the first half.
75% possession first half, 25. They've had 10 chances to our two.
Exactly.
You work it out. I mean, it's just what we're doing with our possessions. Sideways. We want to play in here. We've got two of the quickest lads in the league up front, in Dante and Max. We've got Donners who's coming into pockets. We're just turning them down. But you can't go from guys, everyone doing that, goal scoring at Bamber Bridge, doing that, to the way we've conceded goals today.
FC United manager Neil Reynolds there. And FC will be looking to bounce back in their next game as the Reds travel to Lincolnshire on Saturday to take on Gainsborough Trinity. Kick-off at the North Elm this weekend will be at 3 p.m. and we'll of course have full live coverage on the FC Radio website from 2:30 p.m. for those of you who cannot make the game in person. Well, that's it for this week's edition of This Club Is My Club. A big thank you to everyone involved in FC Radio and the club as a whole. Thanks for listening, and from me, Cockers, see you next time.
This is FCUM Radio, officially the most popular FC United radio station in the world.